Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the annual Running of the Technorama Stakes. It's a beautiful afternoon here as the horses enter the starting gate. Conditions are perfect for running of the race. And there's the bell. Coming out quick, it's number 11, Haxor, with Green Fedora sporting number 3 right behind. Number 14, Road Warrior, looks to be using a lot of specific tricks to get around. Coming into the first turn, number 22, Dual Core, seems to be running with twice as many legs as the rest of the horses. Number 12, Big Dig, is using some cheap shots to try and bury the rest of the field, but it only leaves him showing his youth and inexperience. Rounding the second turn, number 10, Daddy's Mech, is pulling alongside and seems to be gaining market share. And number 4, Open Port, is letting everyone by. As we come into turn number 3, the sexiest filly, number 6, BSG, is causing a bit of distraction, while number 9, Ubuntu, starts to pull out in front. What's this? As we go into turn number 4, Del's Latitude seems to have suddenly burst into flames. It looks like Del's Latitude is out of the race. Coming out of turn number 4, it's number 9, Ubuntu, out in front. Number 11, Haxor, close behind. Road Warrior trying to make the last minute move. Daddy's Mac moving up for the fight for second. Road Warrior starting to run into trouble. Wait, ladies and gentlemen, we have a problem on the track. The starting gate is still in the way. We cannot finish the race because it seems that number 8, Windows Vista, never got out of the starting gate. It seems anyone who bet on Windows Vista has no hope now. The crew is now getting the gate cleared with Windows Vista being walked off quickly. The horses are in the final stretch and number 6, BSG, is gaining support. BSG is running like a machine today. And across the finish line, it's Ubuntu, then Daddy's Mac, BSG, Dual Core, Haxor, Green Fedora, Open Port, and Big Dig. Thank you for joining us for the Technorama Stakes, and we look forward to seeing you at the next race of the Triple Crown, the Geekness.
This show is a proud member of Friends in Tech at friendsintech.com.
Good morning, folks. This is your captain speaking.
Technorama.
Remember when?
Technorama.
On this day in tech history.
Tech.
And now, the news.
Tech.
What the chuck?
Technorama.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
Horses?
Over there, in the media corner.
Technorama.
Hold my beer and watch this.
Unfasten your seatbelts and disregard all safety rules. Here are your flight crew, Chuck and Craig.
Welcome to Technorama. This is the show that takes a lighthearted look at science, tech, science, and all things geek.
And science.
This is the show for October 16th.
The science of science.
And the tech of tech. If this is your first time joining us, tickets please. If you're a returning listener, don't forget after 12 Technoramas, your 13th is free. I am your host, Chuck Tomasi, and with me is, always, Craig Stepp. How are you, Craig?
I am fan-frickin-tastic again tonight, Chuck.
Fan-frickin-tastic.
Yeah, not just regular fantastic.
Is there like a metric version of fan-frickin-tastic? It's going to be one of those shows.
That? Can you say it three times fast?
Not at all. Not okay. Even going to try.
All right.
Coming up tonight's show, we've got loads of links from listeners like Bruce Barr. Like,
no kidding.
A man who can move blocks that weigh tons, and he's just using his body strength and maybe a little bit of leverage. We've also got KDE celebrates 10 years, Yorga sends us some goodies from Belgium that we're going to try, and much, much more.
I can move tons of beer.
We'll be right back.
On this day in tech history for October 16th, 2006. This is October 16th, it's the 289th day of the year in the Gregorian calendar. There are just 76 days remaining in 2006. It was on this date in 1843 that Sir William Rowan Hamilton comes up with the idea of quaternions, a non-commutative extension of complex numbers. And the Walt Disney Company is founded by Walt Disney and his brother Roy Disney on this date in 1923. The People's Republic of China detonates its first nuclear weapon 42 years ago on this date. And the Great Storm of 1987 takes place when hurricane force winds hit much of the south of England, killing 23 people. And it was 4 years ago today on this date in 2002 that Bibliotheca Alexandrina in the Egyptian city of Alexandria is officially inaugurated to commemorate the Library of Alexandria that was lost in antiquity. Happy birthday goes out on this date in 1714 to Giovanni Arduino, the Italian geologist. Also born on this date in 1758 was the American lexicographer Noah Webster. And that's the way it was on this day in tech history for October 16th, 2006.
This is Steve Holden at TechNewsRadio.com, and you're listening to Chuck and Craig at Technorama, my favorite podcast to escape all things serious.
And we're back. All things serious, huh?
Not.
Escape all things serious?
He forgets to breathe while he's taking around. We can't understand why we keep coming over to his house to resuscitate him. He's got this iPod on, and that's all.
Join me, and you will know the force of Technorama.
Live long and prosper.
We got to get into this. We have listener feedback from Dean Jensen regarding old computers. We had mentioned that we had some old stuff floating around here, an Apple IIe in my basement. He says, Chuck, you were talking about what old hardware do we have laying around? Yes, we're very interested in finding out what you've got laying around in your homes. Just thought I would let you know a few things from my basement / office. Three Apple IIcs with monitors and image writer printers. Wow. One IBM AT computer. Have not had that one powered up in a while.
Still in box.
I'm curious to know if that's an AT239 or an AT339. Mm-hmm. My favorite is the ESDI hard drive that I use for my doorstop to my office. And he inspired me. I want to make a segment out of this at some point. Your DOS command of the week is mem/c/p.
You know what? I think we should do a DOS/Linux command. Well, it didn't have to actually be Linux, Unix, you know, type command of the week.
Command of the week. I love it.
Okay, we'll do that. Hey, by the way, you know, I bought some old hard drives, full-height drives, years ago. I bought a bunch of them, and I actually turned them into clocks. I talked about this a long time ago. For those of you who are just joining us, I took the whole thing, took the platters out, took the motor out, and using only computer parts, I mounted in using some of the blanks from the back of a computer case.
Yep.
I mounted the one platter back in the right place, like the top platter, so it looked like it belonged there, and put a clock mechanism in the hole. And I gave one to my boss. Man, you thought that I spent $1,000 on something and gave it to him. He loved it. So, I don't know how many of those. It was great. I had a good time. I actually made about 20, I guess, over time. A lot of people loved that thing.
We also have a follow-up from Dean regarding Yorga's Cat 5 or Cat 6 wiring. He says, here are a couple of resources for Cat 6 wiring. You have to be careful with Cat 6 as the twists need to go into the plug. If not made to the spec, it will not handle gigabit Ethernet. And he points to a couple of links at landshack.com, one for Cat 5 and one for Cat 6. We will include those in the show notes.
Cool.
Speaking of Yorga sent us a couple of packages, one for you and one for me.
Yes.
And apparently you've already hit the package, but I have not. So
I've already consumed the package.
Yorga sent us this package
what, about 6x5x2 with, and I like this. His letter of transmittal is right inside the lid. Did you notice that?
Have you opened your, oh, that's right, you opened
yours. Yeah, I opened it up. He's got a picture in there, he's got one of his business cards, and he's got some candy bars.
And what was the picture that he sent you?
The picture was of his town. It was like the church in the town square.
Okay, so we got the same picture then.
Yeah, that's looks cool. Like a nice place. I want to go there.
And you got the Leo.
Leo. Leo.
Well, you know, I was like, what? Your dad makes these?
Didn't you go to didn't you go to leo.be?
Leo.
You gotta watch the commercial, man.
Oh.
You're so internationally uncouth.
What, is it on YouTube?
Yorga, you have nicer handwriting than I do. That's for certain. His letter of transmittal was right inside the lid of the package, which is kind of interesting. Oh, yeah.
Please find enclosed.
Contents. 2 Leo Milka. 1 Leo Go. 1 business card and 1 photo of Ekran Church. Hope I didn't
and lots of love included.
While we play this voicemail, I'm going to sample the Leo and tell you what I think.
You have 937 messages, all of which are marked urgent.
Dear sir, I felt I had to write to you concerning your segment titled This Day in History for September the 25th, and severely reprimand you for your sloppy research and unprofessionalism. I have taken the liberty to make a short soundbite of this horrendous event.
On this day in tech history for September 25th, 2006. Monty Python member Michael Palin sets out from London's Reform Club on this date in 1888 to start his BBC documentary Around the World in 80 Days.
Indeed, Mr. Palin began his tour in 1888, as you have so stated, then it must make him one of the oldest living members of Monty Python, nay, indeed, the United Kingdom, at a grand old age of 118. As a retired member of the British Empire and longtime viewer of the Python troupe, I feel I must go on and on about nothing in particular until I start foaming at the mouth and fall over. This kind of thing is just not cricket. And of course it isn't cricket, it's a podcast. And as far as I'm concerned, you jolly well better get it right, otherwise there's going to be questions asked in the house, and probably also down at my club, and by my wife. Yours sincerely, Brigadier General Luffington Smythe Pingwallop III, OBE, MBE, TWIT, and VOBE.
Dear sir, I must object to all the objections of this show.
Wow. Phil, that
you're
was...
You're out of order. You're out of order. We're all bloody out of order.
That was something else. One mistake on this day in tech history, I get nailed to the British Wall.
What? One mistake?
Well, in that show.
Oh, yeah. In that show. Spread out over time.
Spread out over time. It's like a glacial thing.
Yeah.
Hey, I got to tell you, these Leo are great. I love foreign chocolate. I mean, the Tim Tams were excellent from Philip from Australia.
Oh, yeah.
It's because people use real fat in their chocolate.
Yeah, they're not like here in America where they sue people out of existence if they use the wrong type of fat.
Mm-mm-mm. Oh, I got to mention that Phil also has a new podcast.
It's called
The Brit and a Yankee, a Chicago podcast, pubcast. The Art of British Pub Conversation with a Midwest Flavor. He's going around and finding the Brit and Yank... Let's see.
He's the Brit.
He's the Brit, and the Yank is... Oh, help me. It's Mike Lingefelter. Thank you. Whew, that was close.
I'll tell you what, he can come down here, and we can do the Brit and the Redneck. Look here, I don't think you're from around here, boy.
I say.
What?
Look for a good pint.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. We will be right back after this.
Okay.
Hey,
I used to have people call all the time. 9 times out of 10, you're never going to get that.
Close enough for government work called none other than Technorama.
Enjoying Technorama.
He's also installed a robot. This thing's made out of a big whiskey bottle.
Working.
Oh, that's kind of weird. Thank you, everybody.
Yes. You know what I thought about?
Pre-release.
Pretty wild.
It is pretty wild.
This is P. Dilly from Podcast Pickle, and you're listening to Chuck and Craig on Technorama!
P. Dilly sounded like he was after our head.
Yeah, I'm P. Dilly, and you're listening to Technorama, and I'm mad.
Get back in with my watch! Shout out to the chat room. We've got Country Science, Captain Rootbeer, Darusha, Hesticolif, Kevin Devin, Mark Shepard, Mr. Gadgets.
That's Kisht. Kit.
Kisht. I can't pronounce that. Must be foreign.
Yeah.
Shadowbird 712, Tim Elliott, VMC. Oh, that's a Victor.
I mean, he's foreign or from Seattle.
Douglas Welch and Zaha Doom. I am just loving this Leo, man. I got to get my hands on some more of this stuff.
Mr. Laporte, Mr. Laporte, please report to the microphone.
Hi, Leo.
Hey, baby.
Sorry. Happy right, birthday on the listener birthday calendar. We missed Bruce Barr. I think he was a late entry. He came in on October 11th. We missed that. So happy birthday to Bruce Barr, a.k.a. Mr. Gadgets. And coming up on the 19th is Russell Pearson, also one of my former bosses, Bill Helwig, is born on the 19th. And I think my sister-in-law, Debbie, is born on the 19th, too. That has nothing to do with anything.
I don't know that my dad really listens to the show, but on the 13th, my dad's birthday. He hit the big 6-0, and I keep telling him it's all down here from here.
After 60?
Yeah.
You're such a nice guy.
Hey, ba-dum-tsh.
Ba-dum-tsh. Anyway, if you happen to be around on Sunday night.
I'm happy for him, so my dad.
Come on. Hey, I'll be happy if I make it to 60, 70, or 80.
You keep up with this podcast. You may not make it to 50.
If you happen to be around on Sunday nights in the U.S., we record at 8:30, roughly, Central Time. I say roughly because we start a little early tonight. Join the chat room on irc.freenode.net, and we've got a stream going, too. Audio stream. You can listen live as we record it.
And now, the news. With both of us.
Well, not so much, though.
not so much news, but news.
You know, I put this first thing in here just because it made a reference to the University of Wisconsin, and I figured it was close to your heart, right?
Where'd you go to school? Go Badgers.
Where'd you go to school?
I went to Northern Michigan University, home of the NMU Wildcats.
Wildcat.
Steve Mariucci's alma mater.
Well, I see that they're taking a part in Google's book scanning scam. Not scam. Hey, let me read this. The University of Wisconsin has agreed to take part in Google's bid to scan book collections of the world's greatest libraries, joining a second wave of backers of the controversial project, the two organizations said late last Wednesday. And you know what's funny is that they say it's controversial. However, I was reading a report where book companies were thanking Google now, after being criticized so much, for making the a spike in book sales because people are able to find what the hell they're looking for.
Really?
Yeah. I'll have to go look for that article, but that's what I thought was funny was they were getting accolades now because they were actually, like I said, people were able to find their stuff.
Next,
but, you know, it just goes to show. Now, I know copyright with books are a little different than music and stuff, but look how open all that information is. Okay, they start scanning it, at least the later stuff or the earlier stuff, they scan it in, people are able to find stuff, and then they'll go, oh, God, I'll go buy it. And see, all this openness actually fosters the business model. Hello, RA.
You never know what's going to come up. That's right.
So that's what I'm saying. I'm just, you know, getting on my horse.
And the next story.
Not a horse. Soapbox.
Soapbox. The Boeing company has begun flight testing for the Advanced Tactical Laser, ATL, Advanced Concept Technology Demonstration, ACTD. Wow, how many acronyms can we get in here? Hey, Darusha, are you listening to this alphabet soup? It's the drinking game. The ACTD program and has generated the first light of ATL's high-energy chemical laser in ground tests, achieving two key milestones in the laser gunship development effort.
That's pretty cool, isn't it?
It is pretty cool.
I just want to know when they're going to put one of these lasers on my car.
Or on sharks. Shoot the car.
Sharks. We lasers on their heads.
All we have is angry sea bass.
Anyway, I thought I saw that and I thought it was pretty cool.
Happy birthday to KDE. Happy birthday to KDE. Hit it.
Yep. Actually, you know, I want to say happy birthday to KDE because if it wasn't for KDE, I probably wouldn't have gotten into Linux because that was the I saw a screenshot of it. I think it was Red Hat 5 was about to come out, and I remember seeing a screenshot of KDE on their old website, and I knew Red Hat 5 included KDE with it, and I just thought it looked so cool from that little screenshots that I saw. I was like, I just got to at least see this and check it out, and it was a big turning point because that's when I said, well, Windows does suck.
What does KDE stand for?
KDE stands for, I don't know.
The something desktop environment.
Yeah, the KDE desktop environment. It's one of those
recursive acronyms.
Acronyms, I think.
GNU's not Unix kind of thing.
Let's see what? There you go.
He's going to Wikipedia. I can hear your keyboard clicks. Are you going to try and read the names off of this clip, or am I?
Wait a minute. KDE stands for K.
Yesterday at 10 a.m., the president of the KDE EV, Eva Brookcipher, welcomed the audience of the presentation track at the KDE anniversary event at Technische Akademie Esslingen. Wow. The TAE.
Esslingen.
Ostfildern near Stuttgart, Germany. I can get Stuttgart. Keynote speakers were Matthias Ettrich, founder of the KDE project, as well as Klaus Knapper of Knoppix fame. During their presentations, they looked back at KDE's successful past 10 years, and they offered their thoughts about the future of KDE and free software. I think the last sentence was the easiest.
You know what? For just a few sentences there, I think it took you a lot longer to read that than the previous
thing. I have a better time with On This Day in Tech History.
Boy, talk about speed bumps. Woo!
Thump, thump. That one, speed bumps, that was my ego.
Yeah. Well, it looks like element 118 has been identified.
Not only identified, but it's been confirmed.
That's cool.
It was a controversial thing. Apparently, element 118... decays so fast that it's very hard to track down. And
it's one of those things that like exists for like a short period of time.
Right. This researcher, Victor Ninoff, was able to he was looking at it earlier on, and it was rediscovered by not the element directly, but the things that happen around it, like the after effects. So it is actually there. Everybody went, yeah, you fabricated the data. But no, it's been confirmed now. So,
hey, when I first read over this, I kind of glazed over it real quick, and I messed up a word, and I was like, element 118, the heaviest element yet, was produced through collisions, fused together, California and calcium. I was like, what?
Californium. And you can go read all the interesting comments that people leave on the site on Blogspot.
Arnold Schwarzenegger, unavailable for comment.
Right. They wanted to call it like Schwarzenarium or Schwarzenegger. Who gives a crappium, you know.
Schwarzenarium.
There's lots of suggestions for what this element should be called.
I'm very proud to have this element named after me.
I can't even say Californium.
All right, moving right along.
Also in the news, Norb from norbtech.info is holding his 25th anniversary show
Not 25 years. It's the 25th show. And he's got a contest. He's giving
longest running podcast.
Started a podcast 25 years ago. That'd be amazing. He's giving away an RCA cable modem, a 512 meg thumb drive, and an iFrogs iPod case. You can go to the link in the show notes and check it out. Norb has an awesome show. I encourage you to check it out. He's hacking! He's hacking!
During the school day, I would spend like 8 hours still on that once I got home.
So that's what happened.
That stunted my growth.
Run it by me again, I'm drawing a blank.
Yeah, I mean, nothing really could shine a light at that.
That sounds more like an antiperspirant to me. What's it about?
What text editors do you use?
Wait a minute.
Is that enough time to take a drink of water? If so, post facto?
It's my birthday, so I might as well give something away to balance out the presents I will get.
He had a voice upgrade.
That was before the upgrade.
Have you used that?
I have not, no.
This is how the professionals do it, folks.
Hi, I'm Father Roderick from the Catholic Insider and the Daily Breakfast, and you're listening to Technorama with Chuck and Craig.
Hacks and Strange Stories!
In the Hacks and Strange Stories, we have the yard board. What the heck is a yard board?
Did you go see it?
Yeah, I did. You have to explain it to the listener.
Well, this guy is over in Russia. Somebody had made a little monument to the QWERTY keyboard, and you can see the keys laid out in huge stones. And let me tell you, these things are not light. These are big stones out in this yard, and they're arranged perfectly along with the arrow keys and the inverse T format. It's kind of cool. So
it is kind of cool. The space bar isn't nice and long, though. It's kind of broken into segments. Would have been like a 16-ton space bar, I suppose.
You know, I did notice that. Thought that was a little odd, but yeah. Aside from that, it's cool.
Also, Bruce Barr sent us, among many other links, how to read Wikipedia on your iPod.
I got
to
interrupt you for a minute.
Okay.
Bruce has been sending a ton of links. I don't know what he's been doing lately. Maybe he's had a caffeine upgrade or something. We're getting a ton of links. And us, I do appreciate it.
Bro, yes, we do appreciate it. If you don't cut it out, we're going to make you a contributor to the blog like we did Marv.
Yeah,
just stick it's not an honor, it's a sentence.
It's a little bit of both.
That's how much we appreciate it. No,
it's a backhanded compliment. Thanks, man.
Keep them coming.
Get on the blog.
Yep. There is a way to read Wikipedia on your iPod. Apparently, this gentleman over at swanman.wordpress.com said, gee, I wish I could do this. And since nobody ever answered his claim or his cry for help, he went and created his own Perl script that did this. And it sounds pretty interesting. I haven't tried it out myself, but I fully intend to, because there's a lot of times when I want to reference stuff. And putting in the notes on the iPod might make it actually quite a bit easier.
Yeah, you know, you can download the whole database from Wikipedia. It's not as big as you'd think it would be.
Well, they've got, about 200,000 English pages on it now?
I don't know how many. I remember over at Floss Weekly,
yeah,
with Leo and Chris DeBona, they interviewed the gentleman who runs Wikipedia, and he was talking about, you'd be surprised how it doesn't take up much space in the terms of hard drive space that we have now. However, the type of availability that they need, it's amazing, is where all the hardware comes from. But anyway, you can download the database. What was the other database that you can download? Maybe it was Wikipedia I'm thinking of.
The internet.
Anyway. Huh? Yeah.
You can download the internet.
Yeah, it's only a few pages.
We also have an interesting clip in the Hacks and Strange Stories. This is useless bits of information from Michelle, a.k.a. Country Signs.
Hi, everyone. This is Michelle with a useless bit of information about Bluetooth. Bluetooth is named for the 10th century Viking king Harald Bluetooth, a Danish king who conquered Norway. Old Harald Bluetooth united Denmark and Norway. Bluetooth of today will unite the worlds of computers and telecom, hopefully longer than the few years Harald's Viking kingdom survived. And now back to Technorama.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, didn't you mention that you once she said that? She was talking about the Viking and all that, and you went, oh, yeah, because it did look like a rune.
Yeah, that little bee looks like a Viking rune.
Yeah, because it's like a funky bee with the little lines coming out the back.
I love it.
Yeah.
We also have a quick Remember When segment.
Remember when you had to burn wood or some fossil fuel to cook your food? Remember when you had one phone in your house and it was attached to the wall? Remember when computers filled a room the size of your garage? Technorama remembers.
And along those same lines, University of Iowa was running a contest to find out who had the oldest computer on campus, and they found a doozy. It turns out that...
doozy, did they?
Ken Phillips, professor of music education, has a K-Pro 2X. Now, the K-Pro comes from the early 80s. This is a CPM machine with two 5 1/4-inch drives. It's about the size of a metal suitcase, complete with handle. You can actually carry it around. If I remember right, it has 64K of memory, but I could be confused with the K-Pro 4 that had 32. No, the K-Pro 4 has 64. The 2, I think, has 32.
You know, it kind of reminds me of the early compact portables.
Yeah, except those had plastic cases. Very similar.
Yeah, they did have plastic cases, and the K-Pro had a metal case. But I just remember the design was very similar.
He says, I have a number of files on the old computer that I use, and since it is a CPM drive, I can't talk to my Mac. I wrote my first book on the K-Pro, and now the editor has requested a second edition. I still have the floppies. I have a K-Pro 4 downstairs.
You do?
Yes, I do.
I mean, downstairs, where are you at?
I'm in the studio. It went downstairs to the server farm. It's not an actual server, but it used to be under the desk right next to me. Remember I mentioned it a few
times. How many basements do you have, man?
I have a 4-level house. It's not. It's like a split-level ranch. Think of it that way.
Oh.
Welcome to the split-level ranch.
Guess I'll have to come over there sometime.
Yeah, you do. I've already said that. So, okay. K-Pro 2,
snowblower.
We want to hear... He wants to see a snowblower. The guy from Malaysia thought that was funny, too.
Yeah. I want to see a snowblower, man.
We want to hear what old stuff you've got. This kind of should have gone back with Dean Jensen's comment about his... the people in the chat room were saying, I got a Trash 80. I got a Vic 20. So send us your old computer stuff. We're interested in hearing. And if it's still usable, and even better, if you still use it. Time for another quick break.
Okay.
Alrighty.
Check this out.
A floppy disk or cassette tape is made up of ferric oxide. When a other magnet comes in proximity, it goes...
I think that's what I said, Chuck.
Thanks, Mr. Wizard!
The Google Web Accelerator.
The Google Web Accelerator.
Nope, no reverb on that one, buddy.
Oh, man.
Implying I had been surfing for 6 hours. Back, ye demon Google Web Decelerator, from my system and everything web connection.
Hi, this is Brian from Coverville, and you're listening to Chuck and Craig from Technorama.
We were supposed to jump into the media corner, not play that music. Should we head for the media corner? I think it's right over there in the media corner.
Do it.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
Hey, where can I find some good information about music and TV and videos and things?
Over here, in the media corner.
This one comes to us from listener David Gleshevsky regarding Foxtrot. He said, the cartoon artist that does Foxtrot was known to watch the old Screensaver show. Woohoo! Mm-hmm. Check out today's cartoon. Of course, it might be a day or two old by the time you get this, but we'll include a link in the show notes. He says, I wonder if he's a Technorama listener now. Could be. We've pestered him enough to get an interview.
Hey, by the way, if you are listening, give me an email. Yeah. I'm winking.
No, we would like to talk to him because, you know, there's some interesting character attributes in there that are starting to come through. And
Hey, wait a minute. I want to talk to him because I found his fingerprints on my car.
And yeah, are you the dude with Douglas Adams old Mac?
Yeah, right. No, but I wanted to chat with him. So anyway, but yeah, you know what's funny is the not this particular one, but a few weeks ago, Jason was developing a web page for his class.
Yep.
And he was said, "I'm going to use JavaScript, this, that, and other, and Ajax, and all that." And said, "Well, what's it going to look like? I don't know. I'll know when I get it done."
he was employing all the latest technologies, but didn't think of the content.
Then the next trip, he had a blank web page, and it was whatever the user wanted him to have.
You know, he's not too far off. I mean, that's what a lot of developers seem to be doing.
Yep. So,
speaking of Web 2.0, kind of on a sidetrack here. In the Fit mailing list, there was a link to the Flickr press badge. So, like, official Flickr photographer that you could print out and put on your badge.
Yeah.
Did you see that?
I did. I think Kevin had asked about it. Somebody sent him, "Oh, he was going to Vegas, and he was trying to get in somewhere, and Kevin said he wanted a press badge, or no, he needed some credentials." And the guy said, "Here you go." I can't remember who it was. It was somebody in the Fit group.
I'm going to start wearing those. Fit badge.
It actually looks pretty official.
You can put your own picture on there, the phrases, whatever. It looks really good.
I wonder if Flickr did that.
Maybe.
Yeah. Remember they put up... remember their site was down and they put up the picture of the two circles, the two tubes?
Yeah. And you had to eat, like, yeah, put in your own contest. That was good.
Actually, I think they're pretty good. I like their site. I don't know.
All right. 2.0. You, me, Geek Library.
Shut up. This is my favorite part of the show. It's the Geek Library.
What's in the Geek Library tonight, Craig?
Oh. I got to say it again?
Say it again. The mics weren't up.
Oh, here we go. And first up for bid is my link, the free graph paper.
Free.
Free graph paper.
I bid $0.
It's a PDF. You can choose what kind of paper you want. Cartesian, graph paper, engineering, polar, isometric, so on and so forth. Then there's the size, inches and everything. It'll make you a PDF and you just print it out and got free graph paper. It's pretty smart.
Nice. I'll have to get that for my kids because they have a lot of graphing things to do lately. Lisa's been making bar charts and line charts. I get lazy and just say, why don't you use Excel?
I just downloaded one as we were just talking there.
We also have a ton of things contributed again by Bruce Barr. We want to thank him for all the contributions. I'm not gonna.
We haven't said his name enough tonight.
Right.
Bruce Barr.
Juice Barr? OnStar?
What? What?
Surprised he didn't send in a voicemail this time.
Yeah.
We have the results of the August 2006 virus scan test. This compares McAfee against Norton against AVG and a plethora of others. You can find out how your virus scanner stacked up against these. They ran tons and tons of tests on them. There's also...
And how did yours, by the way?
I use a Mac.
Oh, so I do now too, so...
Screw that virus stuff.
Yeah,
that's a scam.
It's a scam.
There's also a link to 40 ways to make money on the internet. This is not, you know, selling drugs and surfing for money. There's actually ways you can make money on the internet legitimately. It's not the millions and trillions that some people may promise you from, you know, marking things up on eBay, but there are ways to do it. This is a link to dumblittleman.blogspot.com. I love the name of that title. And I think we had a link to something similar to this. This is to linuxjournal.com. This is the ultimate Linux lunchbox. It's that stacked tower of Linux machines to make a cluster, but there are different configurations in here that you really need to go and take a look. And did you know, do you have a cat? You have a cat, right?
I got one. Four.
Four? Do you have problems with your cats and computers?
No, they keep scratching the keyboard when they try to type.
Do you know that the dust from their kitty litter box will really mess up your computer because it's conductive? It's like a capacitance thing.
I didn't know that, but actually, it's not a problem here. The cat box is on the other side of the house.
Go read this article. You may be interested. I will check it out. There's also a link to...
Chuck, I'm not interested because the cat box is away from my computer.
The dust goes through the house, man.
No, my wife's funny about the cat box. It's clean.
Also a link to an interesting program.
When you come down sometime, I'll serve you a meal on it.
On the cat box?
It's so clean you can eat off of it.
I'm too sexy for this house.
Yeah.
And on the cat box. There's a link to a software package called TrailFire, which lets you create, it looks like it's a plug-in to Firefox, create your own trails on the web. Now, when you go to a site, you can kind of bookmark them, but not only bookmark them, but put comments and notes and things. And then, like a social networking thing, if Craig comes across one of my trail marks, you can go, oh, Chuck's my friend, look where he goes. And you can start making your own little trails through the internet. Sounds kind of interesting. I really want to see where this takes off.
You know what that... You know what that reminds me of? Making trails to the internet. I remember this one guy, it was a fellow technician, and the person brought their computer in. They just bought, and of course the C said it wasn't working. And then he gave it back to him and says he said, well, why is it working? The guy was like, well, why is it not working, or why is it working now and it wasn't the other day? He said, well, it just hadn't burned its path in yet. CPU or something. Just hadn't burned his path in yet.
What kind of answer is that?
They bought it and they left.
Good.
So who's the bigger fool?
The man who believes it. Lots of other things in the Geek Library from Bruce. One of my favorites has to be the 404 Research Lab page. Shows lots of different 404. 404, I should explain, is the return code from a web server when you search for a page or request a web page from a server and it doesn't exist. You get this error 404. There's different types of error messages, and a 404 is just, hey, couldn't find what you're asking me for. You go to, you know, Amazon.com and you type amazon.com/help.html. You know, you might get something, you might not. But if it can't find that and it doesn't exist, it will present this message that says, you know, hey, couldn't find what you're looking for. Well, a lot of people have gotten creative on their 404 pages, and the 404 Research Lab has some really fascinating links that I think...
Wait a minute. We do have a problem in our show notes because that link is the same as the G Drive one at the above it.
I will go find my Bruce Barr message, and I will fix it before we get that posted. That.
You know, good for nothing.
Oh. I can't work like this. Well, that's your line.
Be my trailer.
That brings us to the end. Thank you for listening. If you want to get in contact with us, there's always the listener line at 206-222-CHAT. That's 206-222-2428. You can email me, Chuck at ChuckChat.com. Craig is still K-R-E-G at ChuckChat.com. And the Constant in the Universe is our website for all the forums, swag, webcam, mail list, links to the show notes, and much, much more can be found at ChuckChat.com, of all places.
I'm sorry, what was that, Chuck?
Thank you very much to Mar for providing the great blog content during the week, ChuckChat.com. During the... I did that on Twit, didn't I? ChuckChat.com.
Yeah.
And now it's become habit. Marv has been posting things almost every single day with lots of links to the geek stuff. So if you're not subscribed...
And sometimes more than once.
Yep. And if you're not subscribed to the full feed with a regular news aggregator and all you're getting is the audio podcast, you're missing out on a whole bunch more. This show is a member of Friends in Tech. You can find out more at friendsintech.com. Lots of other great podcasts and great blog content there from many contributors as well. Excellent stuff. Get your news aggregator pointed over to friendsintech.com and pick that stuff up. The audio stream each week is provided graciously through Scott Reynolds. And our chat room, as we mentioned earlier, is freenode.net. If you're getting this show the old-fashioned way, by clicking on it on the website, hey, get to the modern age and subscribe to it and get the show
and
automatically
delivered.
BitTorrent.
Turn it.
Drop us an email. We'll teach you how to do that. We wish you would tell a friend about Friends in Tech and Technorama specifically.
No pressure.
But until next time, a binary high five.
101
Zahadoom.
Nom nom nom.
I like to be good. Bye-bye.